He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Ian, welcome to the Taco Tuesday. It is the August 23rd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite here, our chartered financial analyst. And we have a, well, you know, pretty nice day going on after yesterday's big sell-off. The NASDAQ has now gone positive. That's an encouraging sign. It's up 57 points right now to 13,438. The S&P 500 is up 8 points to 4,146, up 0.2%. The Dow is down just a little, 25 points to 33,046. Small caps doing well. They're up about 0.8%. Crude oil having a big day. Crude oil is up $2.58 per barrel to $92.94, as there is talk of a cut to production by OPEC. Gold's up $10 per ounce today. Silver's up 10 cents per ounce to $18.98. We've got that 10-year above 3. We haven't seen that for a while, and that's been part of this nervousness in the market the last several days. The 10-year is now at 3.04%. And last but not least, our friend Bitcoin, the leading digital currency, up $240 per ounce or per coin. It's at $21,561. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. Before we begin today's action, we got a comment on yesterday's action, Barry. A bad way to start a new week. The Dow was down 643 yesterday.
Yeah, going to be hard for Powell to be a hawkish.
Yes, he's going to have to tread lightly.
Right.
The S&P was down 90 yesterday, and the NASDAQ was down 323. And, of course, everybody wants to know why. Well, I just think that we kind of thought maybe inflation was going away and the Fed would back off. That seems to be the issue. You saw the big rally in the market. All of a sudden, you know, the S&P 500 was up about 16% off the bottom. And kind of like the Fed was going to go away, I guess, was the mentality. And then all of a sudden there were some hawkish comments, I think, last Thursday. Like, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay the course. We're going to continue to bring the hammer down on interest rates. And that seemed to be what really upset the market, especially yesterday when it was down 643 points. And I think the other thing was this sudden rise in natural gas prices in Europe. You know, it's getting down to crunch time. I haven't been watching the temperatures in Germany, but they've got to get something going, something resolved before winter hits, and they are scrambling all over the place. Our European natural gas plays are doing very well right now. Those are some of the leading stocks in the entire market. And, of course, the companies here in the U.S. that have to liquefy, you got to liquefy the natural gas to transport it, they're also doing well. So that's another big problem. I think there's fear of a recession, maybe beginning in Europe. Rationing of energy, rationing of water. It's all kinds of issues right now. And there's fear of, an escalation. I think tomorrow is Ukraine Independence Day. And I think Russia's pretty upset about what happened over the weekend. We don't know who did it. The daughter of one of Putin's allies was involved in a car bomb that went off. So there's a lot of nervousness. We said at the beginning of the year, rising interest rates, inflation, and geopolitical risks would drive 2022. That certainly has been the case. U.S. natural gas prices surged near $10. I remember when it was $4 not that long ago. As the European energy crisis ramps up. Now, our natural gas prices are hitting a 14-year high. That was yesterday. And Gazprom, which is Russia's big oil company, said on Friday that the gas supplies from the Nord Stream 1 pipeline into Germany will be cut to zero because of 3 days of maintenance starting August 31st, and then return to volumes of just 20% of capacity. And, of course, Germany, the power prices have surged above 700 euros for megawatt hour for the first time. It has warned that Russia could further cut gas supplies and reiterated a call to conserve energy. Well, if you're not getting any natural gas through that pipeline, well, there's nothing to conserve, Barry.
Conserving zero. Right?
It's a heck of a mess that they've got themselves into. And, you know, their natural gas prices are much higher than our natural gas prices. So that's something we got to watch. Barron's over the weekend had an article, 8 stocks to play the pumped up natural gas prices. I didn't look at it, but we already own several of those stocks.
I guarantee you we could probably name off a few of those names. Yes. We probably own them.
And several of those stocks are just turning into monsters right now. Okay, now another development which also shows the fear surrounding the eurozone. The euro fell below parity with the U.S. dollar as energy woes dim their economic prospects. Now, I got to believe that Europe has plenty of energy under the ground, you know, and they're available to them, but they've shot themselves in the foot, and it's kind of a self-made energy crisis that's hitting them. But it is what it is, and they're not going to get out of it any time soon. So, you know, now you've got the dollar, and the dollar's been soaring recently, and the euro has been falling. So you've got that dynamic, which is more of a probably an indicator that things could be getting tough for Europe going forward. Okay, so we had this summer rally going on. It was going pretty swimmingly, too. You know, the water temperature was about 85, 87. Real nice to put your toe in and buy some natural gas stocks. And even tech was doing well. Then all of a sudden, just these last few days, we've had all of this nervousness come back. And, you know, this Friday you've got Chairman Powell vacationing a little bit in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Beautiful place. And he'll be talking about what he sees going forward with interest rates. But I think you can expect more of the same. We're not going to back off until inflation is headed downwards, until we have a handle on inflation. And it doesn't seem like, at least any of the reports we've seen recently, Europe has double-digit inflation. And our inflation does not seem to be going away. I think the next CPI report, I don't know when that is. We're probably about 3 weeks out from that.
Yeah, and we do have the PCE price index, which actually that comes out at 8:30 on Friday, which is really actually what the Fed says they use more than even the CPI. So We'll see how quickly he digests.
Yeah.
You think Powell gets a peek at those?
I don't know. I'm sure he gets to see before his speech. So that,
otherwise he's got about an hour. Yeah, otherwise he's got about an hour and a half to prepare that speech between the time it comes out and the time he's supposed to speak.
Yeah, and we still do have some earnings rolling in tonight. Intuit's going to report. That's an important software cloud stock. Nordstrom's is going to report. That's a very important retailer. And we had Macy's report this morning. We'll go through that. We're also going to get Toll Brothers, a home builder, as home sales continue to plummet. And we're also going to get Advanced Auto Parts. The auto parts stores have actually done really well because of people hanging on to their cars a lot longer because new inventory is very, very slim. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we have a pretty good day. I mean, after yesterday, wow. Crude oil's up $3.41 right now, and the tech stocks are starting to blast off here with the NASDAQ up 97 points right now, and we're surging here with our energy stocks and our tech stocks and having a very good day after yesterday. Which we held up okay yesterday. You know, the market was down a whole lot more. We did pretty well because of our energy holdings, which did well yesterday. Okay, real estate stocks. I would not be in the home builders or real estate related stocks. Home sales dropped for the sixth straight month in July. Well, Barry, that's the lowest level since the pandemic. That's pretty.
Yeah, and that one just dropped. What, around right at the beginning of the show today? Yeah, July home sales dropped 12.6%. That's just month to month, which we've already been dropping. By the way, the number is the big thing. The number is 20. You know, basically 30% lower than this time last year, July 2021. So. That's 30%. That's a big number in terms
I'll
of,
say.
And that's new home sales. So as you mentioned, some of the home builders, one of the home builders or one of them are about to report. I would assume that Toll Brothers I think is reporting today, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. And so they're my guess would be. Can't be, expectation-wise, going to be likely pretty rough, I would imagine, for a bit.
Yeah, that's a pretty flat chart on Toll Brothers. It hit 75 last year, a high in November, and that's when interest rates really started to rise, and now it's at 46.
And here's an interesting, I don't know if maybe this is some cutoff where they raise prices because of, the input cost in terms of building the house, but the average sales price was $546,000, surged from $457,000. So you're talking,
wow.
You're talking an $89,000 average increase in terms of the sales price. Meanwhile, they sold,
30% less.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that is one of the reasons why that they're selling less, because the price just got up to ridiculous level prices. And now, prices definitely topped out about 6 months ago. We had a guy in our block. He listed his home at just an eye-popping, astronomical type of number. I see he's taken it off the market now several months later. And, he was hoping to cash in, I suppose, at the peak there. It didn't happen. And, the rise in interest rates takes a lot of buyers out of the market. So, that's that's probably the industry, the sector of the economy that's been hit the hardest. And, of course, the Fed, that's the other fear, is that these rising interest rates are going to put us into a hard landing instead of a soft landing with the economy. And that's what has had the nervous the market so jittery here the last few days. Okay, crude oil trims losses as Saudi minister says OPEC Plus may cut production. Well, they're not out there to help the U.S., especially Saudi Arabia, where you know that's a chilly relationship right now between the U.S. And Saudi Arabia, so they're not looking to really help out in any way, and they're not looking to help out Europe either in any way. And in fact, they're looking to go the other way by cutting production to keep these oil prices elevated. And there just continues to be some big, big winners in the pretty much the entire energy sector. One we used to own, and then, you know, it got oil went through a big correction for about 8 weeks from the middle of June to the middle of July. For instance, Southwest Energy, SWN, which was one of our favorite smaller natural gas plays, it's headquartered in Spring, Texas, it went from $10 a share down to $5.46. That's a 45% drop. Well, we sold it way before it went down 45%, but then it bottomed out at $5.46, and now it's turning into one of the hottest stocks in the market once again. SWN, Southwestern Energy Company, which is a $9 billion market cap company, and man, it had a huge day yesterday. It's following through today on pretty heavy volume, and it's back to $8.31, relative strength of 98, and just booming sales and earnings growth. And that's a good situation, SWN. And yesterday, our natural gas hit a 14-year high. Okay, Apache is another one, APA. They had a big oil discovery yesterday off the Suriname coast. They're, you know, all over the world looking for a natural gas. Yesterday we had a company, Total Energies, with the big find off the island of Cyprus. And now we're off of Africa and Suriname. And there's another one, okay. APA, we had to sell it during that correction because it was such a steep correction. That stock went from 52 down to 30. Okay, so what kind of percentage drop? That's a 45% drop. And, you know, we don't let things go down, you know, that far unless it's like an overnight phenomenon or something. We had to get rid of it and cut it. And now it's done the whole bottoming out at 30, going sideways for the last 8 to 10 weeks, and a breakout today to the upside. APA is about the same size as Southwest. It's a $13.2 billion in market cap. They're headquartered in Houston, Texas, and they had a find yesterday off of Suriname. Here's another one. I mean, relative strength, 95. A huge volume, one of the top stocks in the entire market right now, APA. Okay, then there's been some biotech. We'll finish this half. I've been watching this one. I guess there's a record amount of depression. It's a booming industry. Depression, teenagers, you know, everybody. Well, Axsome Therapeutics, AXSM, is cashing in, and they've got, I guess, some depression, anti-depression drugs, antidepressants. And this stock is now one of the top stocks in the entire market. It's got a 99 relative strength. AXSM, 80 million Americans suffered elevated symptoms of depression during the pandemic, making a significant shift in the depression market. Well, on that optimistic and happy note, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with other companies that are booming right now. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Knight. Welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now Show. Good rally in the market after yesterday's big sell-off, and the crude oil stocks on fire once again today, and especially the natural gas stocks. I want to go back to that AXSM, A-X-S-M, just for a minute, because it is somewhat of a breakthrough, I suppose. The lack of adequate treatment options for major depressive disorder has been well documented. Then came the pandemic that added more patients diagnosed with MDD, heightening the unmet need. With that, the timing is good for the approval of a potentially game-changing drug to treat MDD. On Friday, the FDA signed off on AXSM Therapeutics Auvelity, A-U-V-E-L-I-T-Y, the first rapid-acting oral treatment for MDD. Okay, the name of the stock is AXSM, and the symbol is A-X-S-M. And the difference here between what AXSM has and the current roster of antidepressants is how fast it goes to work. The typical response time for current antidepressants is 6 to 8 weeks or longer, whereas this one, benefits can be seen within a week. Okay, so, you know, this stock, I knew that they were, that's what they were working on, something to do with depression, and it has been highly ranked in my app, which, you know, is usually how I catch these biotechs that really have something. It was ranked number 111, 147 last week, 299 earlier in the week out of 6,100. The stock is up 71% so far this year. So I guess that's a good story there on AXSM, which was one of the big winners in the market here, and it's following through today. You know, energy seems to be a big theme in 2022, all kinds of energy, natural gas, nuclear, you know, wind, solar, you name it, lithium. There's a company called Broadwind. Guess what kind of energy they specialize in? They make wind turbine towers and precision gearing and specialty weldments for energy and mining-related companies. Okay, so Broadwind is a microcap. It's 64 million in market cap, so it truly is a microcap. But it's also, I think it's my top-ranked microcap in the market right now. Beautiful chart. Relative strength of 98. Broadwind gets 11 million in new tower orders. And these are towers, a lot of them they're putting in the ocean. We'll talk about one off of Scotland here in a minute. The firm will manufacture the tower section at its Abilene, Texas facility, and they expect to complete production Q4 2022, Q1 2023. So there's just a little one to keep your eye on. I've had my eye on it for a while. Broadwind. B-W-E-N, they're in the wind turbine and tower business, which is another part of this solution. Now, here's a big wind project. Total Energies, which we talk about almost on a daily basis. We don't own it. It's a French company, but Barry, you're seeing a lot of these oil companies, Exxon, Chevron, Total Energy. They're becoming big renewable energy players.
Well, they're trying to, and we started seeing this, you know, a year and a half or 2 years ago where they, you know, began selling off, right, some of their you know, exploration assets and some other things, and you know, they've been trying to reinvent themselves, probably trying to trump up their ESG scores, I would imagine. But yeah, they've been, you know, you go, you know, they're almost taking that, you know, beginning to look like one we've loved in the past, next era, where they're, you know, kind of beginning to get into wind, get into solar, probably do some carbon capture along the way. But, you know, just really reinventing themselves where, you know, otherwise, you know, if you know, some of the governments around the world have their way, then, you know, they won't exist in 10, 15, 20 years, right? So they must kind of reinvent themselves if they want to survive, I think.
Yeah, well, they turned the lights on, or the switch on, yesterday. They produced their first power generation from their Sea Green wind farm off the coast of Angus in Scotland. Okay, and I've got a picture of it. I'll put it in the newsletter this week. It's Scotland's largest offshore wind farm and the world's deepest fixed bottom wind farm. I don't know how deep the ocean is there, but I'm sure they got plenty of wind off of Scotland. And there it is. There's a picture of these big wind towers. Be careful at night if you're navigating. You want to have your radar on and avoid this area where these wind farms are. But they're a major player, TTE, in wind farms. And, of course, the companies, like I just mentioned, Broadwind, BWEN, somebody's got to make all of the turbines and everything that goes in these towers. Okay, U.S. court orders Venezuela to pay ConocoPhillips $8.8 billion. Do you think the check's in the mail, Mary?
Yeah, and that stems from, right, I think that stems from, you know, because we've talked about this too, how they just let all of their stuff, you know, degrade just based on, you know, the fact that they're, you know, government certainly, you know, didn't put an emphasis on it or just wanted to do it on their own and couldn't. But yeah, I mean, they essentially took you know, a handful of oil platforms, you know, literally took them over.
Yeah.
And Conoco, you know, Conoco had a good bit of exposure there, and they literally just kicked them off of the off the platform,
and then let the platforms go downhill. And
yeah, and that was, I mean, that, you know, that whole story. It's interesting that it's just now kind of, you know, wrapping up. But yeah, I mean, that, I think that was I don't know if, I want to say that was, you know, 8-10 years ago potentially. I want to say the leader there that, you know, that passed away a handful of years ago.
Hugo Chavez, our friend.
Yeah, Chavez. I kept wanting to say Che, and that's a different era. But but yeah, he you know, essentially took them all over and you know, kicked them all out. And so I guess finally they went through international courts or what have you, and they've got
they
got
a judgment.
We'll see if they,
it's not worth the paper
it,
it's printed on.
Yeah.
Can you imagine they'll be getting this late due notice every month, $8.7 billion.
Yeah,
you can pay by MasterCard.
Do you take some
crypto,
other assets that they have around the world, you know? Like, I mean, how does that work?
It's like, I don't know.
You know, hey, we're going to take this embassy that you guys have in, you know, the middle of, you know, who knows where.
Okay, now, more energy. Okay, Freyr, F-R-E-Y-R, is a Norwegian battery company. And they're starting to open up gigafactories. They're a major, major player in batteries, lithium batteries, especially the ones that are used in cars. And they're going to start expanding and open up some gigafactories here in the United States. So that's one I have on my watch list. I look at it every day. Freyr is F-R-E-Y. And it's a $1.2 billion company. And they're one of the biggest battery cell production companies in the world. Okay, now let's talk about Canoe, which Walmart has ordered 4,500 of their all-electric delivery vehicles. And I'm going to put a picture of these guys in the newsletter this week. They're lifestyle delivery vehicles, LDVs. Wait till you see these things running around the neighborhood. Yeah. They're not out there yet, but they're coming.
And yeah, this is the one I loved their concept initially. They actually started out as they were an electric skateboard company, and then they said, "Hey, you know, not too far from an electric car, right? We'll just make the skateboard bigger. We'll call it a chassis," and then they literally just use the same chassis and put a different mold on top of it. So if you want, you know, a delivery van, well, you get the delivery van mold, right?
Or a family van.
Right, and we'll throw that mold on top. So
there's a picture of the family van here. Pretty nice-looking car if they ever get one out there.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, to me, their product sounds more interesting than their stock. At least what it's looking like
right
now.
Go EV is the symbol. $3.56. All right. Well, when we come back, there are quite a few stocks jumping off the page here today. We'll try to pick the best stocks now when we come back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market's given up a little of its gain, back a little of its gains. The NASDAQ was up 97. Now it's up just 46 points. And the Dow has been going up and down above the line, below the line. Right now it's below the line. It's down 45 points. But when you look underneath the surface of the market, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of stocks that I could feature today. It's almost difficult to narrow it down to just a few, but here we go. Okay, the first one, and I don't own this one, Palo Alto Networks is having a huge day after their earnings report. And they are probably the blue chip stock in the cybersecurity world. They've probably been around the longest. They're definitely the largest at $56 billion in market cap. I mean, this is a large cap company. I do look at it almost every day just because it's a good bellwether for the cybersecurity stocks. Which there's several of them. There's also a couple, two or three ETFs like Bug, BUG, and I want to say Cyber, CYBR, that are a collection of the cybersecurity stocks. You know, that was one of the fears that after this whole Russia-Ukraine thing that America would be hit. Maybe we are being hit. Maybe they're blocking these hits, but we haven't had any massive, knock on wood, we haven't seen it.
Yeah, nope. We haven't gotten any, you know, not even any real indication of it. I mean, it's either we're, you know, winning the battle out in the cyber world, or they're not trying, or some combination of the two. I don't know.
I'm not complaining, but Palo Alto's up 11% today. On nine times normal volume.
It's been on a tear lately.
And it's been a great growth stock over the years. But it's choppy. You know, it's a tech stock. It's a software stock. So you got to – that comes with extreme volatility. Now, one of our old favorites is picking up once again, Nutrien. Look at Nutrien. All of a sudden, it's got its pep back. We cashed in on Nutrien quite a while ago. Nutrien got clear up to 117 in late April. And then they kind of launched an attack on the fertilizer business industry. Canada says, you've got to cut way back, you farmers, on the fertilizer that you're using on your crops. And the farmers are saying, well, that's going to hurt the yield. And it's going to hurt the bottom line. We're not going to be able to produce the food that we need, but that's been going on, and it's going on in Europe, too. That was part of the big protest you saw in Holland. And the effect of all of this is it continues to drive up prices of fertilizer. And Nutrien's probably the best stock. I think it's the best stock in the space, NTR. It is a Canadian company. It's headquartered in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And it's at 96 today, two times normal volume. It's breaking out. Relative strength of 92. And I'll bet it's risen quite a bit in rank once again. You know, Nutrien is currently ranked at number 257 out of 6,064 stocks. So you got to look at Nutrien once again. And then the third one here in the energy patch, another one we cashed in on, I think, Vermilion Energy, VET, V-E-T. If you're an artist, vermilion is kind of an orangish, you know, red kind of color, pretty color. It's also Canadian. It's out of Calgary, Canada. They're engaged in oil and gas exploration and development in Canada, Australia, France, Ireland, and get this, Germany and the U.S. This is probably one of the best stock charts in the entire market today. If you want to know what a classic breakout looks like on a one-year chart, you can look up VET. And, you know, charts like that, I think, you know, that's like endorphins, you know, or whatever. I get pretty excited when I see a breakout like that on VET Vermilion, which has a relative strength of 99. That's as strong as it gets. And in the app, it's ranked number 237 out of 6,064. The symbol is VET, V-E-T. Well, it's a market that's kind of seesawing right now. It's a market that where energy plays a big factor in 2022. It's a market where interest rates play a big factor in a negative way in certain areas of the market. I was reading a little thing about Kathy Woods cashing in on Signify for a big profit, like 37% or something. But then I looked, and, you know, her fund is down 55% year to date. It's down 55%. And that doesn't count, you know, from the high, from the all-time high. It's down about 75 or 80%. The biggest culprit there, rising interest rates. That's the eye of the hurricane right there. High PE or no PE and long duration stocks. And it also points to the fact that she's a constrained investor. She is married to the what does she call them? Innovation.
Into the prospectus of the fund itself.
Yes, and she's going to continue to buy innovation stocks, even though the wind in the face of, I mean, it's like going out fishing when the swells are 15 feet and the wind is howling 30 to 40 miles per hour. You know, look, everybody does their thing. That's what makes a market. But she's just been clobbered in that wind in her face and those waves that are breaking over the bow and really kind of sinking the ship. But it is what it is. Now, if you'd like to talk to us, I believe in being an active investor. Find a different place. Go down the coastline a little bit. Fish where the weather's not bad, you know. There's always some, even if it's in inverse funds from time to time, for heaven's sakes. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. You can interview us. You can, you know, we'll give you our opinion on what you're doing now. Or start with the newsletter, 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.